Amen. Amen. Come on back up. Get back up. Didn't want to do that. Come on. Step. See my big feet? I keep stepping on it. I'm glad you're here today. Let's try this over again. This is an oldie but goldie, and I just want to try it out again because I didn't think it. Y'all didn't get it the first four or five times I tried it. So let's try it one more time. A gorilla walked into a drugstore. Now remember, if you go ahead and get it, I won't have to use it again. Remember that. Are you ready? Okay. A gorilla walked in a drugstore and ordered a $1.50 chocolate sundae. He put a $10 bill on the counter to pay for it. The clerk thought, what would a gorilla know about money? So he gave the gorilla a single dollar bill in change. As he did, the clerk said, you know, we don't get too many gorillas in here. No wonder, said the gorilla, at $9 a sundae. All right, I'm glad y'all got it. That's good. That's right. I can retire that one. Okay. Back to basics. Back to basics Sunday. And of course, there's a big tahoot lately about this subject. With COVID going on and everything going kind of crazy and people are wondering back and forth, what do I do? And God, what do I do now that I can't quite do like I used to? I can't go where I used to go. I can't necessarily be like I want to be places. What do I do, God? Talk to me. And so we're going to talk about it today. Back to basics. And as I started studying, especially this morning, I got up early and I was praying about it and I was writing stuff down and I even got more and more and more stuff. So I said, you know what? Instead of me trying to go all the way through this today, I'm just going to get you started and we'll finish it next week and we can tell if it even hit because next week you'll be here. Amen? Look, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you get preaching on hell one week, so I'm going to finish it next week and come back. Nobody's there. Okay, so I'm going to talk about stewardship. But I'm trying to open some eyes, try to get you going here. Because it's very important. Remember, I told you, it's very, very important that we keep our minds in the right direction. So let me just tell you this. Stewardship is more than money. I get so tired of hearing those preachers just want your money. No, I don't. Honestly, I don't. I don't want your money, but I do want you, your time. Okay? The rest of it will fall in place. What I want is you. I want a relationship with y'all, a pastor to his people. Okay? And when the relationships are right, everything will take care of itself. Okay? So I'm not here. This is not about money. Stewardship is more than money. Back to basic stewardship. Watch this. Stewardship is actually how you handle your time, your talent, and your treasure. You pastor, I just ain't got time. Well, you know one thing about it. Your clock goes from 12 at night all the way around to 12 at noon, back to 12 at night. You know we've all got 24 hours. How many here only got 12 hours? You need to give me your watch because it's broke. Everybody in here has got the same amount of time. It's not how much time you've got. It's how you use what time you've been allocated. All right? It's amazing to me how somebody would come to me and you want to get my goat? I'm going to tell you how you can get my goat. If you ever say, let's go get the pastor's goat, here's how you get it. You tell me you're having a problem, and so, okay, and you want to counsel, or you want to talk, and I get you in, I'm talking with you. And you say, I sure wish I knew what to do with some resources. And I go, well, here. Read that book. And then you tell me. There's one thing you tell me. One thing if I say you got tools and you don't use them, that's different. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this is different. Because I got tools, but me and my wife sometimes when we're getting a heated discussion, we throw the tools out the window. I know I'm not perfect. I know I disappointed you. Okay. But I give you a book and I say, read this book. And when you come back in a couple of weeks, at least read this chapter. And they go, ain't had time. Really? Did you have time to watch Bonanza? Did you watch Gilligan's Island? Did you have time to go to Walmart? What I've discovered is people make time for what they want. And one thing we don't make time for in stewardship is God. We want His undivided attention, but we give Him scraps of ours. And then we wonder why things go all to pieces in our lives, because we want His undivided attention. And I'll get to you when I can, God, because you know I don't have time. Really. I know that was an ouchy moment, but I can tell you it ouchies me too. My toes, if you can see my toe right now, it's going doo 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 doo. Only one though, not all of them. All right, ready? I'm kind of religious. Ready? Here we go. All right, ready? Here we go. Time, talent, and treasure. Watch this. Stewardship is about growing. Listen carefully. It's about growing. God working in us and through us. Stewardship is about serving. Allowing God to use us. How many times has somebody been sick or they were having a hard time? And I use this as one of my greatest examples. And I'm not just trying to blow somebody's head up. This is so awesome. Bethany only had days to live. Bethany, I was going back to Washington because Linda had the blood clots in her lungs. And they said, for 3 days there at the hospital, they were pulling the same floor and said, I could lose either one at any time. Okay. So Linda goes home and I go check on her, spend a couple hours with her, get everything going. DC and them were taking care of Bethany. Then I get up to Bethany. And that day I got visited by several ministers. And it was good and I appreciate it. I really do. But they come in with their guns loaded. You know, I got my gospel gun. I'm just going to blow you away. And there was one guy, I don't know if he had ever had any kind of counseling training or anything. And I just wanted to ask him, could you please be quiet? But I didn't. I said, Bethany's in there. I want to spend time with her. And he kept, Romans 8:28. If he just said Romans 8:28 more than 20 times, less than 20 times, it's amazing because he kept saying, right, Romans 8:28. And I finally said, I'm aware of Romans 8:28. And he kept on and on and on. And then I said, then I started training him on how to counsel people. And I counseled him for 30 minutes. And he had all he could take. And he leaves. I'm really having a hard time. Because Bethany is saying, Daddy, don't stop fighting. Please don't stop fighting. Please don't stop fighting. Give it all you got, Dad. Give it all you got, you and Mama. Please just keep on going. We were doing everything we could. We did everything we possibly could. And I'm on the way back to the hospital, and I just watched an episode of Last Man Standing, trying to find something funny to watch. And it was when Mandy got married. And I cried, and I cried, and I cried, because I know Bethany said all she wanted to do was get married and have babies. And I knew that she would never do that. My nerves were shot. I mean, I know you think I'm Superman, but I promise you, my cape was in the cleaners, and there was kryptonite in every pocket. And I get in my car, and the phone rings. And right to start with, I didn't know who it was. I just heard the phone ring, and I was like, hope that's not the hospital. And I pick it up, and I see that it's Patrick Baker. So I picked it up and said, what's going on, bro? Here's what he said. He said, I have no idea what to say to you. I have no idea to even try to even understand the way to communicate right now. He said, but I know you're hurting, and I'm here. Can we talk? It took me 30 minutes to get to the hospital. I stayed in the hospital. We stayed in the parking lot another 30 minutes. We talked about anything, just anything. I got more out of that conversation then the head chaplain at the hospital, the preacher was Romans 8:28. And when we got through, I thanked Patrick. Because although we didn't talk anything spectacular, we didn't fight anything, this is the most important thing. He showed me that he was there, that he cared, and that he loved me in Bethany. You know what? To this day, I treasure that conversation, Patrick, more than anything the whole time she was sick. I treasure that conversation because when I walked in, I felt renewed. I walked in, there's Bethany, and she's out of it. You know, all this stuff's going on, but I felt so renewed. We didn't talk about Romans 8:28. We just talked. The difference was he cared. He even told me, I don't know what to say. And I said, buddy, you just don't have any idea what you have said. It's just awesome. I think we talked about trucks. We talked about donuts. We talked about whatever. You know, I'm not talking about spending donuts with the truck. I'm talking about donut. And but you know what? God allowed, or Patrick allowed God to use him that night. More powerful than guys that come up with a doctor's degrees. And even doctors were coming up to me and saying, can we give you something for your nerves? I said, I'm fine. They said, well, can we give you something? We know that you've got to be hurting. I said, yeah, I'm hurting. And the doctors would even grab me and crying and would hold me. And I say, guys, it's okay. God's got this. But what Patrick did that night was he allowed God to use him. And it was very powerful. Then just before she died, there's Brandon. He came in. You know what happened? Again, we didn't have any big theological debates. I just knew two of my best friends. Didn't know what to say, but they were there. They allowed God to use them in probably the toughest time of my life up to that point. So growing, God working in us and through us, serving, allowing God to use you whether you feel qualified or not, giving, managing God's resources. So now, that is stewardship in a nutshell. And do you see, although money is in all of that, this is not about money. This is about attitude. This is about priorities. This is about God, I really want you to use me. So now, we have people talk about, well, the preacher just wants money. Well, no, I realize, yeah, you might think I want money. If you see my car, yeah, y'all go ahead and pitch in, and we'll. Matter of fact, I had a Chevette one time. I put a club in it, and somebody broke in the car and stole the club. Later, somebody worked in and stole the radio, and they towed the car out. No, I don't want your money. No, church don't want your money. We need money to operate, but that's not what they want. You got to understand this. Yes, we need money to operate, and it's important for God's kingdom. And God has a way for everything to work smooth, and it's like this. You give, and he gives it back. The only thing is, whatever size shovel or spoon you use, you get a bigger one coming back to you. So, but that's not what it is. Well, look, I found out one of the biggest reasons we have a problem with stewardship is because of fear. I'm afraid I'm not enough. I'm afraid God really can't use me. I'm afraid I don't have enough. I'm afraid I haven't learned enough. I'm afraid I'm not old enough. So we're going to talk about stewardship and fear. And I hope that this opens some eyes. I mean, really opens some eyes. So let's get your Bible out. I'll let you sit. Get your Bible out. This is a long scripture. Some of y'all could hardly stand for praise and worship without getting give out. Yeah, some of you couldn't read this scripture. Now I'm tugging on y'all. We're just playing. Hopefully y'all know I'm just playing with you. Okay, ready? For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, or what he's good at, his ability to do what he's got to do, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received the 2 had also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went, y'all say went, and dug in the earth and buried. Y'all say buried. It doesn't say buried, but that's what it means. Say buried. Of course, my wife's from Virginia. She says I don't say it right, so I reckon I'll say it her way. I know you're watching, dear. You're taking care of business. So here it is. Buried. Buried. Doesn't even make sense. I ain't never buried anything. I always buried it, okay? All right. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained with him 5 more. His Lord said to him, well done, good, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also said, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Y'all say buried. Y'all got to say it right. Buried. I don't know how many people up north say it. Buried. Okay. So a talent so low, that, so, and I hid thy talent, I buried it in the earth, and lo, thou hast, that is thine. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchangers. Then at my coming I would have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which have 10 talents. Everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And he cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Therefore there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for your awesome, awesome ability to meet us where we're at, to help us to see, help us to know and understand in order that our needs are met. I ask you right now, Father, to touch this sermon. God, we know, Lord, that it's tough. Right now is the toughest time I've ever lived in. I know it's got to be tough for everybody else. But we know, God, although the times are tough, you are tougher. And Father, although we don't understand, we know, God, we know that you got this. Help us, God, to learn to move beyond what frustrates us and our fears. And priorities that are out of priority. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Now, I'm going to just sit down and kind of talk a little bit. Is that okay? All right. Let me tell you something. Now, watch this. Oop, back it up. I just hit that button. I'm just getting button happy. Amen. Okay. Simple definition, stewardship. Practice of managing another's resources. Practice managing another's resources. Now, again, yes, money's involved, but this is more than just money. This is attitude. This is attitude. This is action. This is priority. You know, I know I can't go to Africa, so of course I'm going to give an African missionary money. And God's going to bless that because he knows I'm not going to go to Africa, so that's good. But to reach down and help somebody on the side of the road, you're walking in Walmart and you see the person in front of you don't have enough money and you happen to have some money in your pocket. I'm not talking about they're in there buying a carton of cigarettes. They're buying milk for their kids and buying cereal. And you see that they don't have enough money. And you just happen to either drop it on the floor and say, look, is this yours? I've done that. Or just tell the, just look at the cashier and go, you know, I got this. You see, again, remember, and I'm going to go even deeper in a minute, but you say, well, isn't tithing stewardship? Yes, but stewardship and tithing is two different things. Tithing is part of stewardship. Stewardship will stand on its own. Okay? Tithing is given unto God. Stewardship's giving unto others through God. Okay? So here, let's go ahead and let's just talk a little bit about stewardship. Okay? Let's just get something straight right from the dig-get. Let's go ahead and clear the air and get it over with. Okay? The Bible says in Psalms 24:1, it says also in 1 Corinthians 10:26, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Stewardship fact number one. Ready? God owns it all. It's all here. Stewardship fact number two. We don't own a thing. I preached a funeral Friday morning. On the way out the door, I get another call from another funeral home and said, can you meet us at 2 o'clock in Chakawinda? We've got a funeral and we need somebody there. Both of those funerals, I never saw a U-Haul being pulled behind the hearse. We don't own anything. You say, well, I own my house. I got it paid for. I got a deed. Try not paying your taxes and show them your deed. You go, you're the one we're going to arrest then. I own my car, it's paid for. Well, then show the title to the tax man. You think we own anything? You think we own our children? No, God lend them to us. You think you got your life together and you own your life? No, you don't. No, you don't. So, we don't own anything. Somebody say that. Say God owns it all. I'm glad he does. I'm so glad he does because I would mess it up if I owned it. Okay? So now, stewardship fact number three. We are called to manage what God has given us. Wow. Now, let me just stop here and park for a minute. We're talking about the last days. Talked about them. We've been talking about them with the seven churches. And we've been talking about the last days on Tuesday nights. And there is a misnomer. When somebody dies and said they're getting their reward now. No, they're not getting their reward now. I hate to burst your bubble. They are living and they are in God's presence. And it's an awesome thing. You can't beat what's going on. But they didn't get their reward when they died. Are you ready? The Bible says, I just read this, Romans 14:10-3, but why thou judge thy brother, and why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So let's therefore not judge one another anymore, but let this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way, the judgment seat of Christ. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:9-10. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it's good or bad. Now, let me just tell you something about the judgment seat of Christ. There's two judgments. There's the great white throne of judgment, and there's the judgment seat of Christ. Not everybody is going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Only those that died in Christ will be there. Only those. Do you have to be perfect? No. Had you made mistakes? Yeah. Were you born again? Yes. You're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. It's there where your works are going to be judged. Once you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you don't have to ever worry about hell again. You don't ever worry about anything like that. Sin, devils, nothing. Because once you've died, you're safe, but you haven't received your rewards yet. Why? Because even though you die, what you sow down here continues to grow. So, because of that, when the 7-year tribulation's going on and all hell's broke loose on the earth, you can watch and you can see that there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. So while the world's living in fear and fierceness, we're going to be feeding at a feast with the Lamb of God. And it's at this time during the 7-year period, we're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema judgment. Not to decide whether we go to heaven and hell, because if you're at the Bema judgment, you're already safe. You're not going to go to hell. But you're going to be judged for your works on earth. And according to your works on earth, then that decides on your reward in heaven. So you're judged for your works on earth to decide your reward in heaven. So again, it does not decide whether you go to heaven or hell. You're already going to heaven. But that just decides what your rewards are going to be. Now, the judgment, the white throne of judgment, we that are at the judgment seat of Christ will be at the white throne of judgment, but not to be judged. We're going to be standing around to witness it. We're going to witness it. That's it. But what really gets me is this thought. What if somebody you loved, maybe your father, your mother, your children, people that you know, and oh dear, you're standing around the white throne of judgment as a witness, and they come walking up. If you go to the white throne of judgment, you're going to go to the lake of fire. But you're going to find out why. So as you're coming up, can you imagine standing there and you look and there's your dad or your mom or your kids or your brother, your sister, or a good friend, and they look up and see you as they're getting ready to be taken off, and they said, "Why didn't you tell me?" Why didn't you tell me about this place? Wow. So you see, stewardship is a whole lot more than money. Okay? So, it's about sowing and reaping, time, talent, treasure. So here we go. Let's get a little bit further in this thing. So now, our stewardship is tested here. When we get to the white or to the judgment seat of Christ, our stewardship is tested here, but it's rewarded there. You might not ever get a reward down here for some of the stuff you do. Okay? If you're waiting for somebody to pat you on the back, are you waiting for somebody to do such and such for you? You may be here a long time. Okay? Your stewardship is tested here, but it's rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? We have an opportunity to give here our time, our talent, and our treasure. But listen, but God has the opportunity to give back to us here and there. Wow. We give here, God gives back here and there. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7 says, "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly." Okay, he that soweth sparingly. Wow. He that sows sparingly. I can't say that enough. He that sows sparingly, like he's scared to death, is his last dime, shall also reap sparingly. The Bible says, one version, the Amplified version says, "Remember, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according to as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Now, listen. Number one, yeah, money's involved, but also your time and your talent. Your time, your talent, your treasure. Okay? If I can't be bothered, if I cannot be bothered to go help somebody, or I cannot be bothered to tell somebody about Christ, or I cannot be bothered to use my talent for God, or I cannot be bothered to give to God's service, whether it be my time, my talent, my treasure, then how I give what God's watching, and how I give is how I get it back. Wow. It says, let each of us give as he's made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully and under compulsion. You know, DC, when he was like five, we were starting a church, and DC was the usher, and we only had like 10, 15 people. And it was really funny one day because DC come up, and we had a little bit more people that day. I think probably had like 20 people. And DC comes up with the offering plate, and I noticed that it was full of money. And I thought, how in the world did we get all this money in this plate? And about that time, he reaches in his pocket, and he puts up his little cap gun and sets it on top of that. What he'd been doing is going down each aisle at 5 years old, giving them the plate and holding the gun on them. So, will a man rob God? No, but my son will rob you. Come on here. And so again, my name is David. I'm your friend. Okay? All right. So, for it takes pleasure, for God loves he that takes pleasure in, takes the pleasures in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do, or even do without, a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do giver whose heart is into giving. So, here's how it works. If I use a teaspoon, God uses a teaspoon to give it back. If I use a shovel, God uses a bigger shovel. If I, whatever I do, God always outdoes it. He always gives back more. That's how it works. It's always worked that way. It has never changed. And that word cheerful giver, literally in the Greek, that word cheerful is hilarious. How long has it been since you gave of your time, your talent, your treasure? When the offering plate come by, you're like, here you go. It's more like, okay, I got about an hour. You can, okay. Well, you want me to sing? I'm going to sing, but I'm only going to use one string. Or is it, you know what? Here's an opportunity. Let's do it. Let's give it all we got to God, because God's going to take this and do something with it. So stewardship equals sowing. And the Bible says he went and hid his in the earth. You know, we don't bury seeds. We sow seeds. We bury dead people. Let me say that one more time. I've done a bunch of funerals over my life. A bunch. Hundreds of funerals. And we've yet to bury a live one. Burying is when you're not expecting life. Sowing is a whole different thing. I sow expecting something to come up. I tell you what, now, if I've ever been to a funeral, all of a sudden they come out of that coffin, we got a problem. I got a lot of faith, but I also can run. I will tell you, there was a funny, I hate saying it's a funny at a funeral, but it was funny. We were at a funeral, and there's a ceremony for this guy that was in a lodge, and he had a box. They had a box there, and it said, now, when you get through, Pastor, just back up. Stand over here, just hit. So I backed up, and I stood over. And they opened up the box, and they said, this dove symbolizes his spirit flying to his master. And he opened up that box. I'm standing here, and the pigeon goes up and parks right there. There's a limb right there. There's one limb. I went, they were having a ceremony, and the pigeon says, the dove was beside me. I said, fly. Then I got to thinking, maybe that guy wasn't as ready for this as I thought he was. All right, so watch this. Stewardship is sowing. Sowing is not burying. Burying is for the dead. Sowing is for the living. I don't give expecting nothing back. I don't expect you to give it back immediately, but when I take care of you, there's been many a time over the years I helped somebody and never even thought about it again. And later on, all of a sudden, somebody I know, one of my kids or somebody needs something, and somebody comes up to them and says, you know what? Let me help you. I remember years ago I couldn't get this done, or I didn't have enough money, or I didn't this. And your dad come up without being pushed or anything, just said, here, you take care of it. And just like he was good to me 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I'm going to do the same thing for you right now. So I still reaped. Just maybe not immediately, because seeds take time to grow. Okay? So stewardship equals sowing. Stewardship equals priorities. Okay? So now let's just go a little bit further, and I'm going to let y'all go, and we'll finish some of this up next week. Okay? So, stewardship. We're all stewards of our time, our talent, our treasure, anything that He's entrusted to us. And one day, we're all going to be called to give an account of how we managed it. And you know what? You can tell me all day long why you didn't and why you won't and why you couldn't think of this and you didn't have time and you didn't blah, 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 blah. You know what? I can see God up in heaven going, again? Son, didn't we talk about this last week? Again? You can't find it in your time. Again? All I've given you and you can't give back. Again? And so what you do is, oh, I got something better here. Here we go. You're standing here like this. With your time, your talent, your treasure. I ain't got time, God. They'll understand. You just got to understand. You just got to understand. And God's up in heaven going, look, He's waiting. Ready to pour. And when He sees that attitude, He goes, and then the next day, something, and you do the same thing. And so He goes, you're wondering, why do I feel like everything's blocked up against me? Take the gun out of your own hand. It's simple. You want to find somebody else to blame, and sometimes, many times, we've done it to ourselves. So here we go. I know, isn't this a good one? Okay, so y'all say uh-huh, so I feel better. Okay, so get ready. Fear, we're going to talk about fear, and then I'm going to call it today, okay? Next week, I promise you, next week's going to be a lot more fun. Okay, you ready? Ready? Fear. Being driven by fear. I can't even tell you how many people I know that are so driven by fear. I know they say, well, I don't know enough, I'm not old enough, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other, whatever. Or they just want my money. You know, they just want to volunteer. Well, no. The bottom line is not greed with the person that doesn't want to do it. The bottom line is fear. Fear they're not going to have enough. Fear they're not going to be enough. Fear they're not going to do enough. So watch. Fear is a feeling of dread, alarm, panic, anxiety. It's a learned response. Did you know that? It's a learned response. We learn to be afraid. How many times How many times have, you know, I remember Mama always telling me, watch how you cross that road. And she called me Cricket. That's my nickname, Cricket. She go, Cricket! You watch both ways before you cross that road. I don't need my son to get flat. And so here we are on Highway 55 in Merritt. And a car, I see a car coming, you know, where we lived. You can see the one bridge or you can see the other, and they were way far away. And we would sit there. If we see the least little car come, we'd wait till all the cars come by. Kind of like some drivers I got behind the other day. And I'd wait for everybody to go by, because every time I get to that road, I'd hear, Cricket! 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 I'm 61 years old. And I can go to cross the street and I hear, Cricket! My mama died in 97. And still, to this day, if I go to cross that road to go to Fellowship Hall, I hear, Cricket! That's the truth. But I had to learn to overcome that. Because although she was instilling good fear in her, and she's a great mom, but in her endeavors to instill good fear, bad fear leaked in. And I had to learn the difference in good fear and bad fear. So here it is. Watch this now. If you don't get it under control, eventually it's going to produce negative circumstances. And that's what happened here. Eventually begin to operate, driven by fear. It paralyzes our decision-making process. It mobilizes our actions. It hinders our prayers. It limits our faith. It restricts relationships. It lowers productivity. It jeopardizes health, and it stifles joy. That's a lot, isn't it? Well, it affects every area of your life, even your stewardship. This story deals with the danger of fear. Driven stewardship. Well, here it is. Okay, here we go. Come on up, bro. I know you're there. Here it comes. There you go. Fear does not prevent death. It prevents life. Wow. Fear does not prevent death. It prevents life. So now, we're going to do this and then we're going to close. If your stewardship is built on faith or your stewardship is built on fear, I'm going to help you decide right now. I'm going to give you a chance so you can figure this out. Take notes, write them down. You ain't got to show the person next to you. I'm going to let you see if your stewardship, how you use your time, your talent, your treasures, if it's built on faith or built on fear. You ready? If it's built on faith, I trust him. Remember telling you about me and Brandon out at Krispy Kreme that night, and that lady came up to us out of nowhere. She came out of nowhere, and she wanted money to buy arthritis medicine, and her fingers, he'll tell you her fingers were like this. I don't know how she could even maneuver. And she said, sir, I just need like $8.32 or what it was. I just need that to get my medicine. And Brandon only had a card. And I reached in my pocket and Brandon said, watch him have it. And I had $8.32 in my pocket. I give it to her. We prayed. She prayed for us. She goes walking away. And honestly, I don't know where she went. But you know what? That was very small, $8.32, but at the same time, it was everything I had. She's sitting there in front of us like this. It was not a joke. You could see her knuckles, they were bad. And I said, do you need any more money? Do you need more? She says, no, all I need is $8.32. I need to get my medicine. No more. No less. but it was everything I had. Here was my test. I could have reached in my pocket and said, well, I'll give you half of it. I could reach in my pocket and go, well, I'm not sure. Oh, we'll go try to talk to somebody. No. I reached right in my pocket, pulled it out, and there it was. So I gave it to her. Because I trusted God. Active. I pulled it out of my pocket. Everything I owned at that moment, as far as money in my pocket, and I gave it to her. But it started increasing after I let go of it. The reason it increased is because I felt the witness of the Spirit hit me. And we really couldn't find where she went. All I could think of was, we just entertained an angel. And God has rewarded me time and time and time again for stuff like that. That's how you know if your stewardship is built on faith. Today, I know I'm not the best singer. Y'all don't have to. Somebody say, no, you really do good. Somebody say, you really do good. Y'all got to build me up a little bit. I said, I'm really not good at singing. Now some people go, you said that. Thanks a lot, y'all. Thank you. There you go. I'll give you a quarter. That's worth a quarter. Okay. Okay. But you know what? DC's working the rescue squad. I don't know where BJ's at, but you know what? Me and Brandon come here and say, you know what? I just don't have praise and worship today. No. Trusting God. Putting the bass staff on. Getting active. And God's going to bless it. Okay, now watch me build on fear. Get ready. Distrust. If your stewardship is built on fear, there's distrust. Either you don't trust yourself, you don't trust God, or you don't trust what's going on. Am I going to have enough? Am I enough? Can I do enough? Then think of those questions. Will I have enough? Can I do enough? Am I enough? It's on distrust. And so what you do is, instead of reaching out like that lady that night, I could look at that lady and said, you know, because people are always asking for money. Remember I told you that day, you know, I was talking about the gas station, and the next time I stopped at that gas station, between services, I stopped at that gas station, the guy rides on his bicycle and hollers, hey, man. And I said, uh-oh. He said, hey, dude. And I said, what? It was raining. He's out in the road and says, man, you got any money? I said, why don't you come up here out of the rain? I said, what are you doing out in the road? He said, they won't let me up there. I said, why not? I said, because I've been panhandling, asking for money. I said, are you hungry? He said, yeah. I said, well, come up here. I'll get you something to eat. I can't go in there. They won't let me in. So we go to the other store across the street. Then I find out he wouldn't come in there either because they won't let him in there because he'd been asking for money. But at least I, you know what? I thought about it. I got him hot dogs and I got him potato chips and I got him something to drink. I got him more than he asked for and I come out and gave it to him. And I rode away and I said, God, I just talked about this Sunday, so I know this is a test. So I'm going to pass this test tonight. I'm going to pass it. See, distrust, inactive. That woman could have come up to us that night, and I could have said, who you fooling? She weren't fooling anybody. They were real. That was real. You know, I could have said, we ain't got any money. Although I had $8, I had the exact change in my pocket. She did not know what I had in my pocket. I didn't even know what I had in my pocket. The only person who knew what I had in my pocket was God. As I put it back in my pocket, my time, my talent, my treasures, my stewardship decreases to the point where I am no longer a channel through which God works his blessings. I only become a vessel where God pours it in, and God pours it in, and God pours it in, and it rolls over. But I'm never effective because I'm just sitting there getting fat off the land coming in, thinking I'm not going to have enough, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to be a vessel. I want to be a channel. I want God to flow through me. It's built on faith. You're a vessel. I mean, you're a channel. It's built on fear. You're a vessel. It just comes in, and that's it. Instead of being rewarded, you slowly, spiritually dry up. And everything you are afraid of happens. Because then you're not enough. You don't have enough. You can't be enough. The choice is ours. Not God's. It's not Satan's. It's our choice. Stewards. Randy, come up here, brother. And strum us something. Stewards. Do I sow in other people's lives? I think this is your question. Do I sow in other people's lives? Do I sow into my children? Do I sow good things into my spouse? Do I sow things at my place of business? Do I sow things on my job? Do I sow in my church? Do I sow believing that God's going to increase me and I'm going to grow spiritually, or am I going to just keep holding to myself because I don't have enough until I fulfill that prophecy and I don't have enough and I'm not enough? I refuse to live by fear. God has so much in store for us. But fear is the exact opposite of faith. This steward, there was three of them. One got five, one got two, one got one. The other guys went and sowed theirs. We'll talk about this next week. They sowed it. But the one guy buried his. Buried it. And because he buried his, he lost what he had. Because when you bury it, thinking you're going to save it, you lose it. Wow. Everybody stand. Next week we'll finish this, then we'll go back into Thyatira of the seven churches. We're going to go back into the churches. And there's outlines on the back there for those that want them from last week, from Pergamos. There's outlines out there. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, and we take it all toward money. No, let's take it toward stewardship. My time, my talent, my treasure. How's our attitude? Everybody, every head bowed, every eye closed. How's your attitude when it comes to stewardship? How's your attitude when it comes to taking what God has given you and you become a conduit, not a vessel? The Dead Sea is dead. The Dead Sea, nothing can live in it. The reason that the Dead Sea is dead is because it takes in all the time, but it never has any tributaries to go out of. It is the richest body of water in the world with minerals and stuff, but nothing can live there. Because it never gives out. It just takes in. It never gives out. I don't want to be a Dead Sea. I want to be a conduit. God, let it flow through me. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. The happiest people I'm ever around are those that are conduits that let it flow. The most miserable people I know are the vessels that just keep getting it in and getting it in and getting it in and getting it in. I've even heard people say things like, I'm not being fed, you know, over the years. Not necessarily always here, but wherever I hear it. And then I happen to hear what they're getting, and I realize it's not that they're not being fed, but you cannot keep eating with your mouth full. Eventually, you're going to have to swallow it. If you swallow it and digest it, then you make room for more food. But if you don't, you just keep that same stuff in your mouth. There's no more room for food. So instead of saying, I'm not being fed, just start saying, you know what? I'm not using what I already got. I'm blocking the flow. I'm blocking the flow. I'm blocking the flow. So now, every head bowed, every eye closed, we're living in some turbulent times. We're living in some trying times. We're living in some times where, honestly, there's a lot of people that don't know where the next meal is coming from. There's a lot of people that don't even know how to make life, life again. And here's your chance to be a conduit through stewardship, or be a vessel. Just take it, my name, you know, I forgot what I was saying. Just take it and put, what is it? Can all you get all you can and sit on the lid. That's it. Can all you get all you can and sit on the lid. No, stewardship. It's amazing. Just a couple weeks ago, I got such a very powerful lesson in stewardship. It blew me away. We had things that need to be done at the church. And so one of our meetings just said, let's just get somebody to kind of head this up, keep it moving, take care of things. I actually was thinking maybe a phone call or something, you know, probably going on. I'm getting ready to leave one day, and the guy that we chose, Doug, come walking by with a tool pouch in his hand. And I was getting ready to leave. When he came by that tool pouch, I said, what's going on, man? He said, you said we were having a problem someplace. I'm going to go check it out. I called the people that I was supposed to go see right away and said, no, I can't go. Something's come up. And I went out in my car and got my stuff and come in with him. Because I saw stewardship in action. It was powerful. Very, very powerful. He'll never know how powerful, how much power that was given in my life in hope that day. Did he come in with a cape on? Nope. Did he come in with, no. He came in with a tool pouch in his hand. Wow. Doug, I never told you. That meant a lot to me that day. That more than you ever imagined, bro. That just picked my heart, did my heart so good. I went home. I even shed a few tears over that tool pouch, believe it or not. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know you've been standing a while, so I'm going to cut her off right now. Ready? Here's what I want you to say. First off, with nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed, I want you to take today as your first day, your first step toward proper stewardship, your time, your talent, your resources. Nobody looking around. Please, nobody look around. So everybody can feel free. We don't have any cameras on you. Nobody can see you. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I realize today that stewardship is not all about money. And I also realize that maybe I got a little off base with this. And I realize today that maybe I could have been a lot better steward, but I want to make it up to you, God. And I want to become a better steward. When nobody's looking around, nobody's there to judge you. And you know I won't. But you put that hand up and say, you know what? I really need to become a better steward. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. That's the first step. Now we're going to talk about it together. Ready? Everybody say this prayer with me. Father, I love you. I know that you own it all. Help me to keep that in my mind. And help me to become a conduit, not a vessel. Today, I boldly declare that my stewardship is going to change. Things will be different from here on out. Even though it's bad on the outside, you're still in control. And I'm giving it to you right now. My time, my talent, my resources, or my treasure is going to be yours. And God, that's where it should have been to start with, and that's where it's at now. With your help, my life will forever change today in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Don't forget, on Tuesdays, wow.
Whew. That got my ear. Don't forget, on Tuesdays, we have a good time here. We're talking about how to stand in the last days. And it was just a little three-parter, and we've already gone through probably 10 parts. So we kept taking stops to the side to talk about the last days and talk about timetables and all this. And we're always open for discussion. So that's good. It's real good. So Tuesday nights, plus we get to eat. I want y'all to be good stewards and make some good, use your talent to make some good snacks. I'm playing. I just play. I don't need a bunch of snacks. I go home now on Tuesday nights. Sometimes I got to fight the sugar rush all the way to the house. All right. Tuesday nights. Come and learn. And please come back next week. I promise you, this was just the foundation. Next week is gonna take us into the rewards. The rewards is gonna be good stuff, not bad stuff. This weren't bad. I know it had the ouchy moments, but I can promise you that it ouchies me too. Matter of fact, if I ever get preaching and I don't get ouchies too, then I need to stop. Amen. If I don't get an ouchie, then I'm not doing something right. I asked Brother Haslip early on. I said, Brother Haslip, y'all heard me say this before. I said, Brother Haslip, when do I stop getting butterflies every time I step in the pulpit? He said, Brother, when you do, you don't get up in that pulpit. You sit down. He said, because when you don't get butterflies, and now I'm adding ouchies, then you have stopped leaning on God and started leaning on yourself. God's got this. God's got it. Amen. Everyone, all hearts and minds clear? Y'all are looking good, with the exception of a couple of you, but y'all know who you are, so that's okay. Brother Doug, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?